This is great. Phonetics. People that want to memorize scripture, for goodness sake. Well, it's great to be with you. My name is John Brock. I live here in Edmond. The subject that we'll be talking about today is scripture memory. I put down on there the little teaser to do it for a lifetime. My life is not up yet, but I've been at it for about 45 years, so hopefully we'll be able to give you a few tips and things that can help you get started and start hiding the word in your heart and keep it. I will be assisted by Ociel Ortega, my dear friend and colleague. Ociel, he'll be a couple of times here. He will share with you in a little bit his testimony about what hiding God's word in his heart has meant to him. Then also, I've asked him to do some research. There's a lot of technology. I do it the old-fashioned way. And I'll get into that with cards, mechanic, you know, that sort of thing. OCL has researched some of the modern tools that are available, different apps and things like that that he'll tell you about that might fit your pistol. But it sure don't fit mine. I like it the old way. I can remember years ago, the gentleman that discipled me, one of the things that was so important to him was scripture memory. And he was telling me, he said, you know, John, if you'll take the time just to hide one little verse at a time in your heart, it's the quickest way to get God's word into your life. You know, I appreciated that, but I don't really think I believed him. I was of the false impression that I had an above average IQ, that I was smarter than the next guy, and that while he was wasting his time memorizing these verses, well, I could read and, you know, cover a lot of ground that way, and that would be sufficient. One day, we were attending a conference out at Glen Eyrie, Colorado Springs. And several of the men got the idea of going into town to do some cold turkey evangelism. Have any of you ever done any cold turkey evangelism? Did it scare you? Yeah, scared me half to death. I did it primarily out of pride. I wasn't going to admit that I was in over my head. Anyway, we went to Manitou Springs. There were probably 20 of us that went. We paired off men, a couple of us in a team. And so I was paired with a doctor from Salina, Kansas. And at that time, we lived in Wichita. So there in Manitou Springs, and we started off at a miniature golf course. And I didn't have the fuzziest idea about how to even open a conversation or anything else. We'd walk up to people and start trying to talk to them about the Lord. And of course, they'd act like we were lepers, you know, and they'd get away from us. Oh, it's just awful. So we ended up going over to a park there. I remember one man, he was a cowboy-looking guy, sitting on a park bench. And I stared at him. I went up to him and I said, excuse me, sir. I said, are you a Christian? And he cursed, you know, and he said, well, blank, blank. He said, well, my cousin's a Southern Baptist preacher in Oklahoma. And I said, well, praise the Lord. That's about all I could do with that. Whew, just, it was terrible. One thing about that, though, did help me, and it stuck with me ever since, was realizing that Jesus Christ died for every person in that park. Every person is a candidate for the gospel of Christ. And I really did want to witness. I really did want the Lord to use me. But boy, that was miserable. We got back to, we were staying at Glen Eyrie, which is the headquarters for the Navigators. Guys were sharing about their experience, what all had happened. Actually, there were some people that had come to Christ that afternoon. It was just, you know, phenomenal to me. Of course, I made the comment, and I said, well, let me tell you something, guys. I said, I appreciate this, you know, and your experience, but I am never going to do that again. And when I get back to Wichita, you know, I will witness for Christ in my environment and so forth, but I'm not going to do that again. Well, one of the men there was a trained, equipped disciple. His name was Tom, and he was from Omaha. He said, John, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go back down there tomorrow, and I'd like you to go with me. And he said, you don't have to do anything. Just pray and just watch. I can do that. So we went back to that same park. And we're walking across this footbridge to get into the park. And there were four, and this was back in the 70s and early 70s. What I'd call, we called them hippies. Two boys and two girls. They were laying across this footbridge. We had to literally step across them to get into the, you know, they were kind of hanging out. I'm looking for some people for Tom to talk to. Tom walked right up to them. And he said, excuse me. He said, I'm Tom Bauman from Omaha. This is John Brock, Wichita, Kansas. He said, we're taking some time out this afternoon from a conference that we're attending up here north of town to talk to people about Jesus Christ. Would you have a few minutes that you could talk with us? They said, sure. Couldn't believe it. They stood up, and Tom began explaining the gospel to them. He's using a little track that I was familiar with, The Steps to Peace with God by Billy Graham. And, you know, as he led them through this tract, the gospel presentation, every time they had a question, it seemed, Tom was able to give them God's word in response to it. And I tell you, I was so impressed with just the authority and the finality of God's word with that issue. And we just move on from point to point. And then finally, Tom asked, he said, well, let me ask you something. He said, if I were a genie and I could grant any wish that you'd wish, what would it be? And one of the young men, he said, and this is during the Vietnam War, he said, be for world peace. He was sincere. And Tom said, well, you know, he said, it's interesting you said that. But in John 16:33, Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, is there any good reason why you can't accept Jesus Christ right now? And you know, three of those four kids accepted Christ right there on that bridge. Now, I tell you, I'm hard-headed and I'm stubborn, but I am teachable. I became more teachable. I could see I needed help. And here was a man that was willing to help me. And so when we got back to Wichita, I started doing what he said, hiding one little verse of scripture at a time in my heart. And I've never regretted that. You know, they talk about memory. Well, I have a poor memory. It's like, in my case, I have a great memory. It's just short. It's just, I have to work at it. Boy. And I find it, I just do such a terrible job on names and things like that, because I don't use the same system with names that I've used with verses. If you can figure out a way that I can do it with names, I'll give it a try. So if you would, take your hand out there, and let's just kind of work through this together. Have you ever sometimes hesitated to give a positive witness for Christ simply because you were afraid and would be unable to answer from the scriptures the questions that you might be asked? Just recently, our pastor, Mark Hitchcock, that greeted us this morning, Mark shared with us these quotes here from Charles Spurgeon, and I ask him to give them to me, and they're so appropriate for this. And let's look at this. He says, this is Spurgeon. Oh, that you and I might get into the very heart of the Word of God and get that Word into ourselves. As I have seen the silkworm eat into the leaf and consume it, just as it eats that and consumes it, so we ought to do with the Word of the Lord. Not crawl over its surface, but eat right into it, till we have taken it into our inmost parts. It is idle merely to let the eye glance over the words or to recollect the poetical expressions or the historic facts, but it is blessed to eat into the very soul of the Bible until at last you come to talk in scriptural language and your very style is fashioned upon scripture models. And what is better still, your spirit is flavored with the words of the Lord. And then Spurgeon goes on to say, it would be wonderful if people would say of us, why, this man is a living Bible. Prick him anywhere, his blood is bibline. The very essence of the Bible flows from him. Well, that's just that's a powerful thing. And I thought, about this, that, you know, that literally to where our thoughts become the very thoughts of God. Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. the thoughts of his heart to all generations. The very thoughts of his heart. You know, as I've thought about that, I don't get all upset about the different translations and versions and all the rest of this. Jeremiah 29:13, God says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And that tells me that I believe that the same Spirit of God that moved this some 40 men over 1,500 year period of time to write these 66 books of Scripture that we have, the same Spirit of God is here to apply them to my heart, to where that it's from God's own heart, his thoughts, to become my thoughts, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. So in what ways does God's word apply to us? Just how can the Bible help us personally? Well, I'd like to share with you just a few ways. Number one, we are commanded to memorize Scripture. Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7 says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." In Proverbs 4:20-21, "My son, pay attention to what I say, and listen closely to my words." Well, you can go blank on these verses too, you know. "My son, pay attention to what I say, listen close to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body." Proverbs 4:20-21. God's word is the means of our salvation. How would you know that you were saved apart from the word of God? 1 Peter 1:23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." It provides the food, the spiritual food for growth. 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be you have found that the Lord is faithful." You know, a problem that I've had over the years are people that will make a profession of faith and they have no hunger for the word. Something's wrong. You know, I know that OCL in charity, they have a little over one-year-old boy, Noah. You know, what if Noah was born, but he had no appetite? Something's wrong. The babies, there's something wrong. And I believe the same thing is true spiritually. When I see people that, oh yeah, you know, they love Jesus and so forth, and they come to church and they do all these things, but they have no hunger for the word. There's just something not quite right about that. It is our source of joy. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." I remember years ago, I was went through a Dale Carnegie course. Kind of the second go-around, I was what they called a graduate assistant. The fellow that was leading this one night was sitting back there in the back, and after I'd gotten to know a lot of the people that were in the class. And so I was just looking over their enrollment records as to why they were taking the course. And I was amazed to find how many people were taking a Dale Carnegie course to get more joy out of life. I mean, it's a great course. If you've not taken it, if you ever have the opportunity, I recommend that you take it. But not to get more joy out of life. If you want to get more joy out of life, eat the Word of God. Hide it in your heart. Feed on it. It is our weapon against temptation. Ephesians 6:16-17. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." I think about Gene War. Gene's always, he's a man's man. He's with the Lord now. But I remember Gene talking about how practical scripture memory was, particularly in this, to keep us from temptation. One of the longer verses that you could memorize would be 1 Corinthians 10:13. on assurance of victory. And Gene says, it's like this. Okay, guys, this is for men only. He said, here we are. We're walking down the street, and here comes this pretty girl. And maybe she's not dressed appropriately or whatever. He said, what you do is you look away, and you quote 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. Keep walking. But God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And by the time you finish that verse, she's gone. See, isn't that practical? That's so helpful. Our weapon against temptation, Psalm 119, 9 and 11, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. In Matthew 4:4, that's what, when Jesus was tempted, what did he do? He quoted Deuteronomy. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, hand of God. Now, I'm going to ask you to explain this for me here. A sword in the hand is worth, I don't mean to embarrass you, we've talked about this a couple of times. What does that mean? A sword in the hand is worth 10,000 in the armory. Why don't you just kind of take it based on our conversation?
Yeah, but it's easy to use oftentimes, just like a war. You know, a lot of people have armor, but you don't really have time to go get that at the moment.
You bet. You bet. Well, when you've got the sword, you've got the armory right there in your heart, and the Lord can draw on it right at a moment's notice, right when it's needed. Very good. Thank you. It's the main key to finding the will of God. The will of God, Psalm 48. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I'll tell you a little story about that. I had retired from a company that I'd been with for a number of years, Halliburton, Oilfield Service Company. And our governor at that time had asked me to come up to Oklahoma City. We were living in Duncan, and to be the director of a state agency. And quite frankly, they were having a lot of problems. It had been in the papers a lot and all the rest. It was a big agency, lots of problems. And I was told, they said that about half of the people there are going to be for you out of about 800 people, and half of them are going to be against you. And you're not going to know which is which, but we'd like for you to do it if you'd do it. And I was praying about this and praying and praying and thinking about it. And so I was driving. I remember right where this happened. I was driving from Duncan up to the Capitol to meet with the governor. And I was just north of Chickasha on the H.E. Bailey Turnpike. And I was reviewing my verses. And I came across Deuteronomy 31:8, and it says, and the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And I tell you, a peace came over me. And I tell you, I claim that verse. And I want to tell you, I took that job, and I stayed there a lot longer than I ever intended to. About 15 years. And every day when I would walk into that office building, I'd claim that verse. And I will tell you, it was like following behind a big bulldozer. How that God just mowed down the issues and the problems, you know, and he did not fail me and he did not forsake me. And you know, after I'd been there, and it was getting close, my age and health and a few other reasons, it was time for me to leave. And God gave me another verse, Isaiah 52:12. He says, but you will not leave in haste or go in flight. The Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. He says, I've got your back. It's time to go.
Can you repeat what the reference was for that first verse?
Deuteronomy 31:8. It's the means of an effective witness for Jesus Christ. You realize what you hold in your hands there is an eyewitness account. 2 Peter 1:16, for we have not followed, now this is King James, I realize that some of these that I'm quoting, We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So we're able to share an eyewitness account. I might say, too, that this person I'm about to share with you, the verses that I've memorized, some have been through courses and some have been through other things. But primarily, it's whatever speaks to my heart. Most of it now today, it comes out of my quiet times and things like this. But where God speaks, and maybe I'm reading in a particular version, I've remembered a lot of J.B. Phillips and Living and other things, sometimes when they just really have a way of capturing the truth. And here's one of them. This is on the means of an effective witness. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, Living. It says, it is true that I'm an ordinary, weak human being, but I don't use human plans and methods to win my battles. I use God's mighty weapons, not those made by men to knock down the devil's strongholds. These weapons can break down every proud argument against God and every wall that can be built to keep men from finding him. With these weapons, I can capture rebels and bring them back to God and change them into men whose heart's desire is obedience to Christ. And what are those weapons? I think it's the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I remember the first time that the Lord really brought that home to me was when I was still in the oilfield service business. And I'd been with a customer, particularly, and he knew I was a Christian. And we'd conducted our business and what have you. And he brought up the subject and allowed me the privilege of being able to share the gospel with him there in his office. And he didn't accept Christ. He still had some excuses, some things and all the rest. But, you know, I felt kind of defeated as I was walking back to my office until that came to mind. You know, that Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send. When we're sharing the word of God, it's alive. It's alive. And what confidence we can have in that. And it equips us to counsel others. Isaiah 15:4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I might know how to give a word in season to him that is weary. Proverbs 25:20, I like, he who sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes on, now this is kind of odd language. He who sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on a wound. Now, can you explain what I think that means? You know, somebody has a heavy heart, and we come to them and we're giving them Dear Abby, or there, you know, there's always a brighter day. You'll get over it. Just hang in there. Stiff upper lip, all that sort of thing. That's about as appropriate as having an open wound and putting acid on it, or running out here with no clothes on in a snowstorm. It's what people need and what people want to hear, I believe, is God's word applied to life situations. So once the word too, once it's in your heart, you can't run from it. Jeremiah tried that. Jeremiah was frustrated. He'd really had it up to here. He said, then I said, I'll not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. And I couldn't stay. I just couldn't be quiet. Sometimes I found, whether I wanted it in there or not, I'm glad that God had his word to draw on to use in my life. So, OCL, why don't you, good afternoon. Why don't you come up here and share with us just the first part, and then I'll bring you in.
Okay. My name is OCL. I meet with John. I'm fortunate enough, John lets me meet with him. I guess I'm just going to share a little bit briefly about what scripture memory means to me. I guess maybe from when I started doing it to where I'm at now. To be quite honest with you, when I was in college, I hated scripture memory. And I really didn't think that was my gift, so I didn't do it. I thought, that's not what I'm good at. So I'm going to stick to what I'm good at. The guy that tried to disciple me when I was in college, that tried to get me into discipleship and scripture memory, ironically enough, he's a professor at Moody College now, so I rejected him, thinking it was a waste of time. Later on in life, as I started meeting with John, I wanted to be discipled and realized that that was important, that needed to be part of my life. And once again, the scripture memory thing kept popping up. I'm like, man, what's my luck with these guys and the scripture memory stuff? I'm like, I'm not good at it. Please leave me alone with it. John stayed after me, and you know what? I started doing it, and I would say at first, Joshua 1:8. Does anybody know Joshua 1:8?
Do not let this book of law depart from my mouth. Meditate on it day and night.
So that you not be, so be careful to do everything that's written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So at first, when I started memorizing scripture, I kind of used that verse. It was like, you know, a little bit of my selfishness, I think, had to do with scripture memory. And, you know, that last part, you'll be prosperous and successful. And, you know, there's a lot of things you guys, and you know, that are going through that require a lot of decision making and a lot of things in your life. And, you know, I'm like, you know, I need to memorize scripture. Okay, I'm going to jump on this. And I memorized scripture at first for a lot of those reasons. I was being told to do it. I knew I needed to do it. I thought it could be beneficial, so I did it. So I started memorizing scripture. I was pretty good at memorizing scripture quickly now. But later on, as our relationship evolved, John would sneak in, hey, that verse like 20 weeks ago, let's look at some of those verses. And I was like, well, yeah, okay. And I'm like, oh, man. And I hand them to him, and I'm like, can you start the verse for me? And it didn't work, and it didn't work. And you know what? The reason it didn't work is because I memorized the scripture to just memorize the scripture, but I never put it in my heart. And you'll hear John up here quoting all these verses, and John's not quoting these verses to just quote verses. It's because they mean something to him in his life, and because God has used them in his life. And I realized these verses have to impact my life. They have to change my life. They have to be part of who I am. And later on, I memorized Luke 16:10. It says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. And as my relationship with the Lord over the years that I met with John have gone up and down, I see that all the dips in my life, the less I memorized scripture, I got more involved in church and I started doing more things. I got busier. I did a lot of things for God and, you know, serving him. But the one thing that was always easiest to run away from was memorizing scripture, because that really dealt with you personally, who you are and what your relationship with God is. And that verse, the reason I quoted it was because I wanted all this responsibility. Yeah, I could go help and serve and be part of all these things, but I couldn't even memorize one verse. And I wasn't even faithful enough with one verse. And that's when my heart started changing, and that's when my eyes kind of opened up. It really comes down to, this is God's giving you this for you, for your growth. And the first thing to go when your walk starts getting a little hazy is going to be your scripture memory. You know, you can't run away from scripture when that temptation comes. You can't run away from scripture that you put in your heart when you have to make decisions. And that's what is so beautiful about memorizing scripture. So from a guy that hated it and didn't believe that it was his gift and it was a waste of time, to seeing how God will change who you are and what your heart's about, that's kind of the testimony that scripture's had for me.
Great. Give O'Shell a hand. I'll get him back up here in a minute. Okay. How may I get to know the Bible? And anybody have a Bible? Can I see your Bible? I'll show you this. If you've never seen this before, it's called the hand illustration. And it's how do I get to know the Bible? What we want to do is get a good grip on the scriptures. And so there's four different ways that we have intake of the scriptures. And we'll let the little finger here represent hearing. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now let me ask you something. How many of you right now could tell me or tell us what your pastor preached on last Sunday? How many points do you remember? You could, God bless you. She's paying attention. That's good. How about how many points from the message that you heard this morning could you list for us up here on the blackboard? You know, they say that the experts say that for those of us, if you're average, after about 24 hours, you're lucky if you can remember about 10% of what you've heard. And for me, it's even less than that. So this is the little finger here represents if all your intake of the Word of God is just hearing only, it's not a very good grasp on the Scriptures. So then we'll let this finger here represent hearing. Revelation 1:3, blessed are they that hear and they that read the words of this prophecy. And so after about 24 hours, the average, they say, is 15 to 20% of what you've read. And then we'll move on here to study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I don't mean just glancing over it, but I mean study, digging it out, cross-referencing and so forth, and application. Here again, on the average, they say it's about 35% after 24 hours of what you've studied. But we'll let this finger represent memorizing. And I've shared this verse earlier, Psalm 119, 9 and 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way or make his way pure? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, after you've memorized something, how much of it do you retain? Yeah. All of it. That's right. That's what we're wanting to do here. And look here, if you have hearing, reading, studying, memorizing, but the key is this thumb. It's meditating. Psalm 1:2 and 3, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Boy, so there, that's what you want to do. We want to get a good five-fingered grip on the word. Thousands of people testify that memorizing Scripture pays the greatest dividends for the time invested of anything they have ever done. It is the fastest and most effective way to become equipped for instant use of the Word of God. I remember one time, this was in Kansas. I was leading a scripture memory group in a church. It wasn't my church, but I'd been invited to come in and do this. And so there were about 16 people in there. And the pastor was one of the folks in the class. And we were memorizing three verses a week. Altogether, they memorized 72 verses of scripture, word perfect. And that's what we strive for, word perfection. And so on. And so, but he told me at the beginning of this, and he said, now, John, he said, I'm going to be in there with everybody else. And he said, now, being the pastor, he said, but I'm not the authority. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. You just take it and you lead it, and I'm just going to be one of the class. I said, okay. So we started off, and we'd been at it about a few weeks. And finally, one evening, he said, I can't be quiet any longer. I've got to say something. And I thought, uh-oh, maybe I'd crossed some doctrinal line or done something I shouldn't have. I said, go ahead, Steve. So he said, I'll tell you. He said, folks, I have been to seminary. I have studied Hebrew. I've studied Greek. My father was a pastor. And he said, I'm going to tell you, but these 12 verses of Scripture in my heart have done more to impact my life than all of that. Now, that's Steve. That was his comment. But that's just how powerful it can be. I have had the experience. I love to teach, and I've teach Sunday school and different things along the way. And I sometimes used to feel guilty that it didn't take me longer to prepare a lesson. I would sit down and I would get started in some passage or something, and it just, the Holy Spirit would just flood me with cross references and with things that I could hardly keep up. And till it dawned on me one day, you know, it's not that I haven't put in the time. I put hours into preparation for this. But it's there, and God can draw on it. And it's just, I can't tell you what a blessing that has been. One of the greatest benefits of Scripture memorizing is the impact that the Word of God will have on your heart. Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And speaking on that verse, John MacArthur says that allowing the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly is tantamount to being filled with the Spirit. Consequently, the impact of Scripture memory is not from being able to quote verses on every possible subject, but having the Word become an integral part of your life through meditating upon it and carefully with intent, meditating on it carefully with the intent to obey and make application. It is interesting to notice that the Pharisees could quote much Scripture, but their problem was application. Some have said that it was a problem of about 15 inches. That is, the Scriptures were in their heads, but they were not in their hearts. The key to getting the Word from your head to your heart is through meditation with the intent to obey. Psalm 1, 2, and 3, I just shared that for you. And it says that his delight and that he will is meditating on the Word day and night. And God promises fruit to the man that does that. And Joshua 1:8, that's what we just went through a while ago. OCL took you through that. James 1:25, this is in the J.B. Phillips. "The one who looks steadily into God's perfect law and makes that law his habit, not listening and then forgetting, but actively putting it into practice, will be happy in all he does." So it's that application. We're in the home stretch. Anyone can memorize Scripture. I'm sorry, I just had these war stories, and I hope they don't bore you, but we were living in Duncan, Oklahoma. I was starting another Scripture memory class down there. And my mother, at that time, she was just coming up on 70. I'll be 73 next month, so I'm thinking about, my goodness, she wasn't so old after all, but she seemed old to me then, you know. But Mother said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to get in there. I told her, I said, "Now, Mom, I'd love for you to do this." I said, "But I'm not going to cut you any slack. We make a commitment, and I'm going to hold you to it." She said, "I said I'd do it." I said, "Okay." And boy, did she. Mother got in there. And I'm telling you, the Word just began to just come out of her. It was just beautiful. I remember one time she was talking about, she had one of these digital clocks that would shine up on the ceiling in a dark room. And she'd look up, and it was a number, colon, and you'd see like 1:10. Colossians 1:10. "That ye might walk worthy of the land," and so forth. 1:16, you know, and then just, God bless her. But it was tremendous. One time she came to me and she was almost angry. And she said, "You know," she says, "I've known the Lord for 40 years. Why hasn't anyone shown me how to get into the Scriptures?" You know, we were taught her how to have a quiet time and how to share her faith and some other practical things, discipleship stuff. But here she said she was saved in an oil field revival down there around Rush Springs, Oklahoma. And she always felt dumb spiritually. You know, she just didn't have anything. Where do these people get this stuff? About 3 years later, she came to me and she said, they've asked me to teach a Sunday school class. What do you think about that? And I said, Mom, I think you'd be a good teacher. And so Mother took on, she had the oldest group of women in the church for as long as her health allowed. But isn't that great? So can I memorize? You bet you can. And I want to tell you, there are three secrets to memorizing Scripture. You ready? You notice the exclamation points there? I'll tell you what the first one is. It's review. And what's the second one?
Review.
I can't hear you.
Review.
And the third one?
Review.
Review. If you get that, it's review. I'm sorry. And the secret is review, 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 review. It's work, but it's fun, and it pays off. The dividends are incredible. If you understand from the beginning that memorization is essentially review, the battle is half won. A verse of Scripture is not fixed in your memory until it has been periodically and regularly reviewed over an extended period of time. Scripture memory will also be a spiritual battle. Satan will see to that. He will do everything in his power to keep you from hiding God's word in your heart. Remember, God's word will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from God's word. Now, I want to show you something, too. It's amazing how the mind works. Let's just say that this is a time of learning and a time of forgetting. Let's say that we're working on a new verse. And the next day, a little more, until the times of learning become longer and longer, and the times of forgetting become shorter and shorter, until you have that verse memorized. And then the way you keep it is that you review it. And you review it every day. You know, I've mentioned this scripture memory course, and I don't hold that course up as anything out of the ordinary, but it happened to have been produced. Lauren Sandy, who was the president of the Navigators, did this for the Moody Correspondence School. And so it was one of their correspondence courses. Moody said that that course had the highest dropout rate of any of the courses that they had. More people would start it and drop it than anything else, except in the area of Wichita, Kansas, where there was about 98% completion. And part of the reason for that is that we did hold each other accountable. And one thing was that we made sure that every person that we review every day, we would review. Also, we had accountability. We had prayer partners and people that they would stay in touch with each other and help one another as they went through this. And it's just really, it's not rocket science, but it's just that reviewing and that accountable relationship. So how to begin? Well, first of all, purpose in your heart that this is what God wants you to do. Ezra 7:10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to obey it and then to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Establish accountability. If you have another friend or person that you'd like to do this together, where that you set a goal, set a purpose, and hold each other accountable and share your verses together. Then review your verses every day for 12 weeks. And then start a weekly review file, and then a monthly, then a quarterly, etc. And make it a lifetime discipline. If you're one verse per week, in 1 year is 52 verses. 52 verses are in your heart. In 20 years, you'd have over 1,000 verses. And if you'll do what I'm saying right here, you can do that, and you can retain them, and you can keep them. The key, too, is this, is that when you review your verse, first of all, say the reference, like we're going to memorize John 3:16. Say John 3:16, for God so loved the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And I tell you, it's just to me, it's I do it, it's very mechanical. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he... And I'll tell you, this is what I'm doing. I do most of mine at night before I go to bed. But I'll go over this verse, and right now, my verse that I'm having, I could not quote that verse to you right now. Because I've just been doing this for a couple of days. It's just, stay after it. And then you'll start getting it. And then have my wife check in, and she'll make sure that you do it word perfect. That's right. But then to quote the verse, and to tie that reference to the verse, I'll tell you, there are many times when, just like up here, I want to come up with a verse, and I can't any more tell you what that verse says, but when I say the reference, that verse, it's just amazing how God made the mind that it works that way. But then here comes that verse. Osel, why don't you tell them about some of the tools, the technology that's available for those that like to use it.
Lonnie, his wife calls it the address. Give the address.
Yeah.
He's like, you can know if the house is real nice and pretty, but if you can't give the address, nobody can go look at it. I'm going to speak real briefly about the tools. I'm guessing what John showed you. How many of you guys have a verse pack? How many of you guys have ever seen one? Okay. How many of you guys have it with you? Okay. John?
Don't leave home without
it. Don't leave home without it. So after about 5 verse packs of being washed in my pants and my lack thereof, putting my effort into memorizing scripture the way I should, I started looking at ways to try to help me a little bit better. So I kept them in my truck. I know John's method was to keep them, you know, he does them in the evening, or he'll go before he goes to bed. You know, there's just a lot of different things for all of you guys that might work different ways. You definitely got to find what will be resourceful to you. Now, how many of you guys have your phones with you? Everyone pretty much. The guy I'm discipling, he gave me an app that has been really resourceful for me personally. I've done some research on a lot of different apps. I do think this one's probably the best one. You might have one that you think might be better than that. The app I'm talking about is called Scripture Typer. Has anyone heard of it? Oh, one guy. Yay. So hopefully there'll be more. The only bad thing about this app, it's expensive up front. But I'll tell you what, you'd be willing to pay $50 afterwards, because this is what's helped me really, once my heart changed. Now, let's get that off right off the bat. Your heart really has to be willing to what I was talking about earlier. Once I was submissive and my heart had changed to really memorize scripture for the important reason, this app had really started paying off and helping me out. So some things, scripturetyper.com or Scripture Typer. So that's the things I'll talk about. John asked me to do some research on the technology stuff. He likes it the packet way. Like I said, after 5 packets of mine being washed, I said I better find some new way. They have an Android version and they have an Apple version. The Android version is the new up-to-date version. I spoke to the developer of the app. They're working on rewriting the whole app for the Apple version. So some of the things that it's lacking in the Apple version is already updated in the Android version. Some of the things that this app is really resourceful for is the thing that John was talking about, the putting them in sections like weekly, daily, monthly. As you start memorizing scripture and bring it on, obviously you don't want to carry, I used to do this, I used to carry like my 50 verses together. And like, it was not very resourceful. The thing that they're changing that they have in the Android version that they don't have in the Apple version is you can custom put your dates on when to review. So you can say daily. The old version would just add a day. So if I reviewed today, it'd add a day. If I reviewed tomorrow, it'd add 2 days. If I reviewed the third day, it would add 3 days to remind you to come up. So for instance, here's mine. So I haven't done 3. And the accountability for me is that the only way you get that little red thing to go away, you actually have to get in there and do it yourself. Some of the things that I enjoy about it is you can type it out, you can memorize it, and it'll give you half the words as you start kind of learning them, and then you can master it. My wife and I used to do the scripture at night together, but due to the way like my work life is, I found myself being very exhausted to memorize at night. I found myself with some dead time. Everybody kind of has dead time, and you always have your phone with you. But the one struggle I always had is I could never get it word perfect. Because I didn't have someone like, if I had John checking me, then he's checking me. But when I was meeting with John, I needed to already have mastered it and try to have it word perfect. Well, how do you know? The only way I knew to do it is write it on a piece of paper and then check what I did to see if it matched up. The thing that's pretty cool about this is when you hit master it, there is a setting in your settings. If you go in your settings on your Apple, I don't know about the Android because I'm guessing it's the same way. You just kind of have to work through it. You can type, as you can see, the letters are probably turning red, right? If you miss, it'll go red, and when you get to the end, I only hit 36% accuracy. Like, you know, like, so it'll keep track of that, and it will only let you go on to the next day once you hit 100%. So the only way to get that highlight to go away is by actually doing it. For me, accountability-wise, there was no more excuses. I left it in my pants. I left it in my truck. This thing, unfortunately, is with me all the time, everywhere I go. You're waiting in a restaurant. You order. You're not going to do anything for 2 or 3 minutes that they're going to bring your food, probably, right? So for you college students, there's a lot of dead time right before you go to class. You might get to 5 minutes early trying to get ready. You have some maybe a little bit of free time. So for me, I found this to be very resourceful. Like I said, I spoke to the developer. They're starting to add some new things to it, like subcategories aren't included on the Apple version. For people that have jobs and work maybe like in front of a computer all day, there is a website that you sync up your email to it. So it syncs up to like your iPad, it syncs up to your phone, and it syncs up to your account online. When I'm at work, I actually can sit there and my phone's over here, whatever. I can just log in really quick and just start typing it out. And it'll check me exactly the same way it is on the phone. So I found that to be really cool because I'm sometimes in front of a computer all day long. Just log into the app. And the other thing is you can make the verse that you're memorizing your screenshot. I don't have it as my screenshot right now, but we all look at our phones all the time. Let's, you know, be honest with us. Yeah, like your background. You can make it your background. So you could just either screenshot it, you know how you do it with the phones, and save it as a picture on there, or I'll actually let you. So, guys, basically the app in general is a very resourceful app. I think it really helps create the opportunity to be able to memorize scripture wherever you're at, whenever you're at. Side note, as John says, if the electricity goes out and you can't charge your phone, though, you can.
I'll tell you, if these cards are good enough for the Apostle Paul.
I agree with that. I want that on record. I agree with that 100%. I just have found that this has been very resourceful and encouraging for me because I can bust it out real quick and not be looking for them. So hopefully that can be resourceful. If you guys have any questions on it, you can ask me. There's a video on it too if you guys want me to email you the link.
Good. So touch base with OCL on that if you do. You know, one thing too that I've done is like in your favorite Bible, whatever the one you're going to keep forever, is that whenever you memorize a verse, I'd suggest you circle it. Do something special to where that if anything ever did happen, if you lost all your verses or whatever, and still had your Bible, at least you'd be able to go back and recover by the ones that you had. Yes, sir.
So, when I like to read the Bible, I personally like NLT.
Yeah.
But I was comparing the verses as far as memorizing them, kind of NIV. Do you try to read and memorize out of the same version?
Well, I tell you, I want whatever I memorize to be as accurate as possible. Even though, like, I have memorized some from living over the years, or more than anything, like, I'm old, so a lot of King James is what I have. But my Bible I read now is NIV, so a lot of my verses have come from the NIV. But that's the thing. And verses, too, that like from, as I said, from Quiet Time or whatever, that speak to my heart. And so I've memorized from Wiest. I've memorized from Berkeley. Of course, The Living, J.B. Phillips, Amplified. Just whatever, really, where God just really speaks to my heart. And I find that those are the verses that I more often than not will use or share. Any other questions or comments?
Can you try to break it up in a little chunks?
Yes, sir. When I've memorized longer passages, I just, because I'm into this thing, I just do it the same way. I just take it one verse at a time. Stay with it.
So the app, it does that too. That's what the developer guy told me. Because that was one of the features that a lot of people asked for. Because some people want to memorize like a whole chapter.
Yeah.
And the problem was that
you know, you can't memorize a whole chapter and then add a day. That's why he changed the custom to say, I want to memorize this daily for like 2 months so you really get it, because chapters are a lot harder to memorize.
This young lady that gave her testimony this morning, she's memorizing the book of Hebrews. She's already through chapter 12. That's biting off a pretty big chunk.
People try to come up with visual stories, visual pictures, crazy, wow, visual ideas to help you get that verse reference. Right?
Yes.
Do you find that being particularly helpful or not?
Well, it just the way my mind works, I'm not that creative. And so I find that more often than not, I default to the mechanical. I sure do. And two, if it's precious, if it's something, it means a lot to me. It helps me. I do visualize where it is in the Bible as it relates to other scriptures. It's amazing how that it starts pulling it all together, you know, over time. Funny thing, I can tell you many of my verses when I review them, I know exactly where I was. Or exactly what was going. It's always that memory comes back in my mind. It seems, which is just an odd thing, but it's just it's a discipline. And, well, you were asking me about sometimes whether I feel like it or not, or what was your question? This is at the lunch table.
What keeps you going? Or like, do you memorize more because it's a commandment, or more because you want to do it?
And that's a very good question. Is it because we're commanded, or because I want to? And I think in the final analysis, it would be because I'm commanded. But when I do it, I want to. It's like when you study the Word. It seems when it happens to me, the more I study, the more I want to. It's like I use the analogy, like the Scriptures tell me to love my wife. Well, do I love her when I feel like it? You know, sometimes I don't feel like it. But when I love her, and that love's a verb. When I love her, I feel like it. So it's a discipline. It's obedience. Faith in the fact and the feeling will follow. Well, all right. Anything else, Osiel? Thank you, brother. All right. There are various scripture memory tools available. From the navigators, you've got the beginning with Christ, going on with Christ, topical and persistent, and so forth. And what I have here, if any of you are wanting something to start on, a good place to begin is right here. These five verses that are in the beginning with Christ. Excellent verses on the assurance of salvation, assurance of answered prayer, assurance of victory over sin, assurance of provision, and assurance of guidance. Any other questions, comments? Well, bless your hearts. You've sure been a blessing, and I wish you success. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these folks, and thank you, Lord, for their interest in hiding your word in their hearts. God, what a privilege. We just pray, Father, that you would bless us all. Help us, dear God, to be faithful, to continue to grow in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.